The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nikki Thunder of KCHA Radio in Cherokee and Greg O'Rear of the Red Oak Express. The first question will come from KCHA's Nikki.
Hello, Senator. How are you?
Very good, and I hope you're the same.
Oh, very good. Thank you. And now, my first question is, with the latest mass shooting at a church in South Carolina, maybe you can comment on that. And then also, will gun laws be a topic of discussion? Do you think that they should change, you know, such as like tougher background checks?
First of all, I would say that we need to all keep in mind the families who have been hurt by this tragedy. Had the opportunity to have a prayer vigil led by Senator Scott's staff of South Carolina as he went back there to be with his own constituents who were hurt. I believe that we need to wait and make sure that all the facts are out there. And then I think whatever action's taken, we got to think in terms of the violence that guns do, but we also got to remember the protection that guns give to people as well. And then we got to remember that the Second Amendment ensures citizens an ability to protect themselves and that nobody wants gun violence. But as far as what might come down the road, I think that should not make a decision within the first 24 hours of what the situation is. Greg?
Thank you, Senator Grassley. On a little bit of a lighter note, it's presidential campaign time here in Iowa. And, Red Oak was graced with Governor Huckabee here yesterday, and Senator Cruz will be here tomorrow. As a voter yourself, what questions should we be asking Republican nominees as they keep coming through Red Oak? What information are you looking for as a voter?
Well, just yesterday, we had the new director of the Congressional Budget Office before the Budget Committee. And one of the big points he was trying to make, and something I questioned him on, was what we call the long-term fiscal problems of the federal government, meaning the 45% of the budget we don't appropriate money for. It's entitlements. And that's going to have to be handled in a bipartisan way. And it's going to have to be led by a president. A president doesn't have to have a plan, but a president has to be committed to leadership in this way, because even if Republicans and Democrats in the Congress agreed on a particular solution to the issue of long-term liability and Social Security and Medicare, nobody's going to go to that work if it's going to be vetoed by the president. So what are they going to do to show presidential leadership in solving the long-term fiscal problems? Now, we can solve the short-term fiscal problems through what we do in the appropriation process. That's about 35% of the money we appropriate, but not the long-term. And then that becomes a moral issue, because are young people going to have Social Security and Medicare?
Maybe tell us a little bit about your introduction to legislation to protect the whistleblowers in the criminal antitrust cases.
Well, that legislation is meant to make sure that they're not punished for doing the right thing. That's the short answer. The long answer is that it has a lot more than just not punishing whistleblowers, because whistleblowers are a source of information, whether it's the private sector or the public sector. And, of course, I don't have much control over the private sector, like members of Congress set up and finance the public sector and the basis for hiring public employees. But whether it's a waste of money or even bureaucrats not following law, or it's people in the private sector with corporations not filing the law, there's no way that everybody, including the CEO of some corporation that's got 100,000 employees, can know what every employee is doing. So we want to encourage wrongdoing to be reported, and that shows respect and protection for whistleblowers. And this legislation that I just introduced has a pattern from legislation that I got passed, Sarbanes-Oxley, and I think that goes back to maybe 2001 or 2 or 3 in that period of time, I believe. Okay, back to Greg.
Senator, were you satisfied with the answers you received from the FBI in its recent briefing with Congress regarding its plane surveillance program? And are you currently comfortable with the kind of a lack of formal oversight with that?
Yeah. It was a staff briefing, and so I don't know exactly what they told us yet, because I haven't been briefed by my staff on it. I will be by Monday at least. But I would guess, but this is just a guess at this point, that we aren't going to be totally satisfied, because we find out that they don't always come clean in the first instances, and sometimes never. And more importantly, since I wrote a letter, I'm not going to be satisfied with a staff briefing. I want some responses on paper, and that will come in answers to my letters. One other thing, something that you've heard me say many times: transparency brings accountability. We still have questions about the transparency and the oversight of the program.
Will you tell us about the letter to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services regarding the issuance of tax credits under the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare?
Yeah. It's what's going to happen when the King versus Burwell bill is passed. What's the administration's plan after that court decision?
Senator, at your request, and Senator Ernst, you're going to have a hearing with the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture regarding the impact of avian influenza, specifically here in Iowa. What are you hoping that hearing will produce? And, you know, are there any lessons, any takeaways from what's happened here? What can be done to prevent this in the future?
Not until there's a vaccine produced for it. Now, there is a vaccine that helps, might be 60% effective. But if you get one bird in a barn, then you're going to get the disease. You're going to have 40% of them die. So I don't think, and the other thing is that if we start using that, until it's approved by other countries, it might prevent the export of some of our chickens and eggs and stuff like that. So that's the one thing that we can do, but science is going to take care of that, not political leaders. We can have the resources for it. So I think it boils down to, do we have enough money in the pipeline? If we don't, how much more money is it going to take? And second, why is decision-making by agriculture bureaucrats so takes so long and so much indecision and the paperwork that's connected with it? Those are the things that we would... Well, no, there's one other thing. Composting doesn't seem to be done in a way that guarantees not the spreading of the disease further, because it's done out in the open fields, and it's covered with, I suppose, I would imagine it's being covered with wood chips, but it doesn't seem to be something that guarantees that wild birds or any sort of animals couldn't further spread it.
Oh, good. We have time. Okay, I know it's
one
a long
question.
I know it's a long way off, but if a Republican president is elected and they plan to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act, and what would you see happening to those who receive health care from the Affordable Health Care Act? Like, would they lose health care altogether, or do you see another option?
The other option is that we've got a bill prepared that's going to continue the subsidy for 18 months to 2 years, and that doesn't mean it can't continue after that period of time. But we don't want to make it permanent, because that would be just saying that the president was right when he did something that was unconstitutional, assuming the courts rule in that way, and we think they're going to. And then, so then under those circumstances, you would keep it as a political question during the presidential election and finalize changes on Obamacare, including repeal and replacement, or including adjustments of it, whatever direction you want to go, however you want to say it. That would put that off for 2 weeks or 2 years without, well, let's put it this way, until after the next election. So you wouldn't really be saying that that everything with Obamacare is working just perfectly. Thank you, Nikki and Greg, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.